So this morning, I want to begin the way we always do, but with a uniquely pre-Tisha B'Av twist. We're going to pick up where we're up to in the Rambam's Hakdama to Pirush HaMishnah, in the Rambam's survey of the history of Torah Shebaal Peh, Halacha, Nevuah, and Machlokas. We're in the midst of the Nevuah discussion right now. The Machlokas piece is coming in Ritzchem next week, in our final week together for the summer. But at the same time, we're going to see two major themes emerging today that I think are very significant in terms of our thinking and our avodah of the course of Tisha B'Av. And then as we turn our attention afterwards to Bet the Sugis of Tefillin, we're going to see also we're at the juncture of a uniquely Tisha B'Avdic angle on Tefillin. Let's take a look. Here, page Lamed Beis. The Rambam just completed his survey of how you get certified. We saw this over the last couple of days. How one gets certified as a Navi. We saw a three-part litmus test, right? Looking at the prescription, looking at the person, and looking at the prediction. Right? First, if the Navi comes with a Tainas Nevuah, someone claims to be a Navi, and he puts forward a Nevuah that he claims that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, and the Rambam has been giving examples of prescriptive nevuos, where he's given instructions of some sort. So we'd see number one, you got to pass the first test is it a reasonable prescription? Is it being said in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does it not represent a permanent change to halacha or even a temporary one-time instruction to worship of Avodah Zarah? So then the prescription. Whether it's just be mezareis us in keeping mitzvahs Hashem, or it's a haras shah addition to halacha, so those are possible prescriptions. So then the second point the Rambam said is look at the person. Does the person seem to be eligible to be a navi in terms of chachma, in terms of tikkun amidos, in terms of yerushamayim, chacham gibra ve'ashir? And number three is let's hear some if the claim is plausible and the person is plausible, the prescription that he's giving could be the person seems eligible. They move on to the third P, which is prediction. Let's actually make a descriptive nevuah, what's going to happen in the future, and we'll record it with all its details. We'll see if every last detail comes true. Then we'll have him do it again and again a number of times, and then we're satisfied with those three steps that he can be certified as a navi. And the Rambam moves on. The Rambam ultimately is going to say in the next page that once you're certified as a Navi, so then the halacha has unique things to say about Nevi'im. And once you're certified as a Navi, there's a unique power. There are rules that apply uniquely to Nevi'im in terms of our chiyuv to listen to him. But before he moves back to that, he moves back to the prescriptive Nevuos, where a Navi is giving us instructions, he wants to linger a little more on the descriptive. When the Navi is giving a description, where he's making a prediction of the future. And I think in the coming paragraph, we'll see the first of two important themes for our Tisha B'Av. Rambam says, there was nothing that they, let's just like think about this idea of Nevi'im giving predictions. Nevi'im describing what the future holds. You have to understand that they used to ask Nevi'im all sorts of things. Nevi'im were really a part of life. If it's not true, Rambam says, if it's not the case that people would ask Nevi'im even mundane sorts of things, everyday type of things, remember the story in Sefer Shmuel of how Shmuel HaNavi told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're going to anoint this fellow Shaul is going to come to you and you're going to anoint, you're going to tell him that he's meant to be the king of the Jewish people. You're going to anoint him, you're going to appoint him as the king of the Jewish people. But Shaul doesn't come to Shmuel looking to become the king. Shaul, if you remember the story from Sefer Shmuel, Shaul comes to Shaul looking for his lost donkey. The donkey is lost, they can't find it, but looking for a bit of time. They decide they'll go ask the Navi where the donkey is. And that's how Shaul ends up at Shmuel. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had seen to it that the donkey would get lost so that Shaul would end up at Shmuel's home. But Shaul wasn't aware of that. Shaul wasn't coming to Shmuel to be anointed as a king. We know, with 2020 hindsight, we know with the perspective of Sefer Shmuel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention was national. This was cosmic. This was the anointing of Shaul as the first Melech Yisrael. But Shaul was just looking for his lost donkey. So what the Rambam says is that there's a slice of life here that's worth considering. You see that that was a normal thing. You lost your donkey. I lost my car keys. Oh, I lost my phone. I've been looking for a few days. Go ask the Navi. Go ask the Navi. Like, no. Yeah. And that's fascinating because, again, like it's sort of in our mind, we think like the Nevi'im are like people are very, very distant. And, you know, we think of, you know, you go ask the Navi, maybe the king is going to go ask the Navi something about, you know, whether or not to go to war. Some sort of national issue. Should we be concerned, like we were told about the other day, he quoted Yeshayahu's Nevuah about whether or not to, you know, reroute the water system inside Yerushalayim. Like, national issues, major communal issues. I wouldn't have imagined, you go to the Navi, you know, I need some advice, but some personal issue, go ask the Navi. He says, but clearly, yes. That's fascinating. Ein Safik Shehu Kein. It says, it has to be that way. Hashem Amnam Hamid Lanu Nevi'im Echelef Hovei HaShamayim VaKosvim VaMenach Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the Chumash, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to learn about in a couple of weeks. Kadosh Baruch Hu presents that the Nevi'im who will come after Moshe Rabbeinu, they are in contrast to the astrologers, in contrast to magicians, in contrast to people who practice divination and superstition and so on and so forth, in contrast to people who are involved in all sorts of occult, forbidden occult narishkeit, and people would go to them, you know, to know what's happening next. And Ayom Hazeh, obviously far less common than it used to be, but there's still a thriving industry of tarot card readers and astrologers, and people waste a lot of money in trying to get occult predictions of the future. So the psukim present, instead of going to those people, come to the Nevi'im. Kedesh nishalein b'chol yaneinu aklal yivar pratim. It's clear from the Chumash that the idea is that you're going to, that you have access to Nevi'im to ask them klalim, big national communal questions, and in yaneinu apratim, personal issues. And they can give us valid, accurate predictions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They won't always give us a prediction. I might ask what's coming tomorrow. They might say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell me. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to tell you. It doesn't mean you can get, just because you ask a question, you always get an answer. But that was the Nevi'im were the outlet to seek out answers to those sorts of questions. He says, that's what the Pasuk says. Hagoyim ha'ela sh'artoye weisho sam, el ma'onim ha'kotim yishmo. Bohosham says, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, the Kananim who live in Eretz Yisrael, they are very involved in occult practices. They talk to diviners and they talk to so and so. Ata lochei nasin l'cha Hashem l'kecha. No, you have a different situation. Navi mikir b'cha mi'achecha kamoni. Another HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appoint other Nevi'im like me, Moshe Rabbeinu says. Just like I'm a Navi, other Jews will be appointed Nevi'im too. The Beglal Eloha Anyanam, Karma HaNavi, Ro'eh. He was called the Ro'eh, the seer. Shaul comes to Shmuel's hometown and he's looking, asking, where's the seer? He was the Ro'eh. The Fisha Hu Yir'eh Advar Masiv L'Snehei Yosam. He can sometimes see what's going to happen before it actually happens. Kamo Shamar. The Pasuk says, they used to, in the old days, olden days, they used to call the Navi the Ro'eh, the seer, the predictor. Now, I think what the Rambam is making an important point. It's worth recognizing that he hasn't fully resolved the underlying tension. By which I mean, in other words, it's clear, as we saw before, he's saying, you know, this is a little surprising. And I would have thought, oh, the Navi is for like the big picture items, for the Klal Yisrael items, for the national items. And surprisingly, the Rambam demonstrated, Nevi'im were consulted for personal, small personal questions also. Now, So he demonstrated the fact, but he hasn't addressed the underlying question, which is underlying kasha. Why? But shouldn't Nevi'im, these holy, holy people, holy hopes all the way high up there, the Rambam in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, in the Shmona Prakim, so he discusses this in the fifth parak and the seventh parak, that then a Navi was really at the top of the pyramid of top of the ladder in terms of different rungs, different levels of spiritual attainment. And Messias Yisharim describes, based on Gemara and Avodah Zarah, one step leads to the next. So in a progression of spiritual growth, the Navi really represents a person who's near the top of that ladder, who's really progressed to, about as much as a human being can get in terms of spiritual development, as we were discussing yesterday, in terms of eligibility of a Navi. So it is remarkable that you would go to talk to such an unusually God-connected person, such a usually spiritual person, about little things. So the Rambam just demonstrated, well, it's true. Surprise, but it's true. They did talk to the Navi about their lost donkeys. Because as far as Shaul was concerned, that's why he was seeking out the Navi, just not to become king, just to be reunited with his donkey. But why? So there are a couple of key themes here. So larger hashkafic ideas, I think, that lie right beneath the surface. One is that we don't see the physical as devoid of spiritual potential. We're not Christians, and we're not Zoroastrians, and we don't think that physicality is fundamentally negative, and we don't think that the ideal human being is a monk who's totally cut off from the physical. And isn't married and barely eats and so on and so forth. We don't go to the other extreme either. We don't go to the secular extreme either and say all physicality is fine and there's no spiritual value, just do whatever you want. We're neither Christians or Zoroastrians, dualists, nor are we, secular hedonists. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us as a human beings are this unique fusion of physical and spiritual. And the physical can be channeled to great spiritual gain. That the physical parts of our lives, not just do whatever you want, not only are there structures and discipline in terms of what we eat and how we eat and et cetera, in all parts of our lives, but that's meant to give us the opportunity to find great spirituality in the physical parts of our lives. There's great mitzvahs, both in terms of the kedusha that comes from maintaining the mitzvahs lo saseh, and the kedusha that comes from engaging positively in the mitzvahs saseh. Almost all the mitzvahs have to do with how we interact with the physical world. So it's neither extreme. It's neither physicality is automatically bad, nor is it physicality is, it's all just the same, do whatever you want. It can be done poorly, or it can be done incredibly well. So that's the first theme I think that emerges here is, what's wrong with what should be wrong with going to the Navi to ask where your donkey is? Your donkey can be a vehicle, no pun intended, your donkey can be a vehicle for great avodas Hashem, or not. I think we've touched on the theme of b'chol derechecha da'ehu in the past. The Rambam develops in the Shmona Prakim and in the third parak of Hilchos Deos, and this appears in the Shulchan Aruch, I think it's Archaim Simin Reish Lamed Aleph, that when you think about neutral activities in one's life, things are not mitzvahs per se, and not averas per se, just neutral. I mean, eating food is kosher. It's not avera, not a mitzvah. Eating, not having a Suda Shabbos Suda Santav. I mean, eating breakfast on a Tuesday morning, and eating, sleeping, going to work, going to the gym. Nothing's non-kosher, not a verit, not necessarily per se a mitzvah either. So the Rambam develops the idea, and this is possibly the most common, the most frequent halacha in Shulchan Aruch, most frequent halacha in Rambam, one of the most frequent. He says, when you engage in neutral activities in the life of most of our day, much of our day, if not most of our day, we're engaged in neutral activities, hopefully not engaged in forbidden activities, The Rambam writes, look, there's a pasuk in Mishle, b'chol drachecha da'ehu, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways. What does that mean? Rambam says, I'll tell you what that means. That mitzvah of Divrei Kabbalah, that mitzvah in Nach, that pasuk in Mishle, means the following. It means that when I engage in neutral activities, so I could transform them into mitzvahs by the power of my purpose, by the power of my intent. Rambam says, if you eat because you're hungry, if you sleep because you're tired, and that's it, nothing wrong, nothing right. Not a mitzvah, not a bit, fine, you're tired, you want to sleep. But he says, but consider the following. Let's say I, for 5 seconds before I went to sleep, I considered the fact that by going to sleep now, I'm going to be awake and refreshed tomorrow. I'll have the capacity to focus when I learn, when I daven. I'm going to go to sleep now, so I'll be refreshed and awake tomorrow, so that I won't snap at people. I'll be able to handle people with patience. I'm going to go to sleep tonight, so I'll be awake and alert tomorrow, so when I get behind the wheel of a car, for those who are old enough to be doing that, I'll be driving safely. All of those are mitzvahs. So if I consider for a couple of moments, obviously not while you're sleeping, but for a couple of, if there's an awareness before you go to sleep of the Avodas Hashem purposes that are served by this otherwise neutral activity of sleeping, Rambam says you've just converted all those hours of sleeping from neutral, from parav, into mitzvahs. If there's an awareness of not only am I eating because I'm hungry, that's totally fine to eat because you're hungry, totally fine to eat because the food looks good, neutral. But imagine if you injected an added layer of awareness of purpose, that by eating, by drinking, I'm building a healthier body to be able to be Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly tomorrow, and I'm making healthy choices to be able to Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu enrich him for many more decades. And I'm going to the gym not only because I want to look buff, nothing wrong with that, nothing right with that, it's neutral. But if you're going to the gym, not just I want to be healthy, but I want to be healthy so that, I want to be healthy so that I can use the body Ribbono Shel Olam gave me, or the body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, entrusted me with, for more years of being Ovid Hashem, because that's ultimately what longevity nets you. So all of a sudden you've transformed those hours on the track, those hours in the gym, those hours on the bike, whatever, however you like to get your exercise, on the court, on the field, whatever it is, from neutral to mitzvahs. And again, the Rambam is clear. It doesn't mean that like the entire 20 minutes, the entire hour that you're biking, you're constantly thinking about this. But it means that there's an overall awareness. At some point you're thinking about it. There's an overall awareness of purpose. I'm not just doing stuff because. When there's a purposefulness, and that purpose is specifically, you know, the greater goals of Avos Hashem, so that purposefulness, or if you like to expand your phraseology, that teleological thinking, that thinking about goals, transforms the neutral into mitzvahs. That, for the Rambam, is the mitzvah of Bechol Drachecha De'ehu, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways. All ways mean not only when it's an overt mitzvah, not only when I'm sitting in front of a Gemara, in front of a Chumash, or I'm holding a lulav, or I'm writing a tzedakah check, even when it's neutral activities, they can be transformed. Sometimes I can do them directly for mitzvah purposes, but sometimes at least I can be aware of how they indirectly move forward, enable me to be Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future. So that's such a powerful, again, if you want to see that inside, I highly recommend the third parak of the Rambam's Hilchos Deos in Sefer Hamada, or Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Siman Reish Lamed Aleph 231. And I think that idea, it lies right beneath the surface over here. We would have been surprised to think that you would go ask a Navi about seemingly, petty things. But it's not petty. It doesn't have to be petty. Your HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that donkey for a reason. Use it well. Use it well. The kids book about that maybe some of you have at home, about the mitzvah car. The parents come home with a car, the kids are excited, and the father explains to his kids that we're going to use this car for mitzvahs. They go to shul, they go to learn, they go to Nichon Veilim, they go to pick people up, they give people rides, and it's a perspective of understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me all of the physicality in my life to be purposeful with it. We're not anti-physical. We're actually even more pro-physical than the secular hedonist because we see it as something of potentially permanent value, used well, invested properly. So that with that in mind, the kashi, the unspoken kashi here, dissolves. Of course you would talk to the Navi, the incredibly spiritual person about seemingly mundane things. He's not a monk. He is very, very spiritual. He's very, very aware of our Kaddish Baruch Hu, much more conscious than you and I are. And he's very conscious of how Avos Hashem is playing into every single part of his day and can guide you in terms of your day as well. And the Tisha B'Av angle here, I would suggest, is the following. That a lot of this does feel, we're talking about the last couple of minutes, sort of makes sense. At the same time, seems a little remote. Yeah, I guess it makes sense that Kaddish Baruch should be a part of daily life much more than he is, but it seems a little remote. So the truth is, if that feels a little remote, you've just, and if you feel like, hey, there's a gap here, like I'm missing, so like this sort of makes sense. I wish that was more real in my life. So that feeling is a critical feeling to hold on to for the next 36 hours. Because that feeling really captures is what it is that we're meant to highlight and focus on over the course of Tisha B'Av. As we were talking about Shiva Subatama's time, we had a chance to look at that Gemara in Bava Kamma in Perek HaKones. Right? Eliezer Zairu was wearing the black shoes, and there was a whole debate about whether or not it was appropriate that he was being misabel over Yerushalayim. Only because he was a Gava Rabba was it appropriate. As we discussed at the time, Chaim Freeland developed the idea that the Avoda is to recognize what we're missing. That's what Avelus is. Usually Avelus is usually used in the context of Avelus for a family member who passes away. What the Ramban refers to as Avelus Chadasha, new Avelus, fresh Avelus. Person was a part of my family. I lost a loved one, and there's a sense of loss because I noted in a healthy situation, it doesn't take work for me to notice that grandparent, whoever it was, had been a part of my life, and now there's a gap. It does take work with the Beis HaMikdash because we don't necessarily notice that we're missing something. What the Ramban refers to as Avelus Yishana, the old Avelus. And that's why it takes work. And that's why we had 3 weeks, and then we have 9 days, and we're building, building, building. It requires work to cultivate this, to the awareness of what we had, what could be, and what's missing right now. The sort of more natural Kirvas Elokim that a Beis HaMikdash would provide. It's much more than just that. The Avelus is not merely that there's a glorious building that we don't have. It isn't even only that there are so many mitzvahs of karbanos that we don't keep, but it's the whole picture. I don't want to chalila say karbanos were an afterthought, but the fact that karbanos are on the Beis HaMikdash, Ramban develops the idea, Ramban al Torah, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't a place of karbanos. The Beis HaMikdash was, as the way the Torah introduces Beis HaMikdash, in Parshas Truma, is not in the context of Karbanos. Karbanos really get discussed mostly in Chumash Vayikra. In the middle of Chumash Mos, the Torah says, "Va'asu li mikdash v'shochanti b'socham." Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "You'll make a mikdash so that there can be a greater hashras hashchina among the Jewish people. It'll be easier for us to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu if there's a physical address that we can come to." That has the spiritual climate of which is a place that lends itself to greater Kibbutz Elokim for us. And that's really, the Ramban even develops the idea that the Mishkan was meant to be a sort of like a continuation of Har Sinai. Har Sinai was, as we were discussing the other day, Mass Nevuah. If Nevuah is at the top of the ladder of the closeness of a person to Ribbono Shel Olam, it is an incredible national Kirvas Elokim. Har Sinai. Extraordinary. They all became Nevi'im for a short period of time. It was incredibly intense, but it was also, very transient. It came and went. The Kiddush of Har Sinai was gone once Mamon Har Sinai was done. Very intense, but totally temporary. Ramban develops, that's Yisro Mishpatim, and then Truma Tetzava Yakla Pikud days, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Klal Yisrael and says, we're going to do this in a more permanent way. Not quite as intensely, but in a far more durable way. And that's Beis HaMikdash. V'asli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. Ramban says that's why the close of Sefer Shmos is the... not only that they succeeded in fabricating all the parts of the Mishkan, the walls and the roof and the various kelim and then the big day kuhuna as well, and not even that they fabricated all the parts and they put them together. It's they fabricated all the parts, they put them together, and the final psukim of Chumash Mos, there was Hashra'as Hashchina. Right? The Anan comes down, and in other words, the Mishkan worked. Karbanos we'll get to in Sefer Vayikra. But the core of Mikdash is for the Ramban certainly, is a place of Hashra'as Hashchina. So if we're more attuned to that, what could be from thinking about the role of the Navi and thinking about what was to what Emir Chem will be. So that's a powerful spur to the avoda of Tisha B'Av, to appreciate the sort of kirvus elokim that's lacking, to appreciate what we're being misabil for, and at the same time also to think about, even before I have a Beis HaMikdash, what are ways in which I can. It's not only a question of, I'm waiting for the Beis HaMikdash to come back. What are the ways it may be more difficult to access, but what are the ways that I can make differential change in my life right now? Even before Beis HaMikdash, what are the ways in which I can already, bring greater kirvus elokim and bring a more consistent, like this idea of B'chol Drechecha Da'ei, bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my life, into the way I plan my activities, and thinking about the different parts of my day and the different things that I'm involved with and how they fit in, how they can fit in, how can I retool them to not just be, I do it because, which might not be a wrong, but certainly is a missed opportunity, when instead it could be, I do this because it fits into the bigger picture, an overall life thrust of Avos Hashem. So these are some of the practical ideas, I think, that emerge from what seems like a very theoretical discussion about Nevi'im and going to Nevi'im to ask them about your donkeys. And I think Tisha B'Av specific and Bechlal in terms of our Avoda. Next time, Rich, we're going to pick up in our final week, in our week of Nachamu, we're going to pick up focus on two things, in terms of the Rambam's Hagdama to Pirush HaMishnah. Number one, we go on to see a little bit more what he has to say about Nevuah, specifically, and I think this is very appropriate for the week of Nachamu, to look at the differences between good Nevuos and bad Nevuos, as we shift from Chazon Yishayahu to Nachamu Nachamu Ami, and we're gonna take a look at that Daf Lama Gimel. Rama has some very fascinating things to say about that, and it fits in very much intertwined with what he said so far. And then the other major topic we'll look at, Ritzchem, over the course of this morning, Machshava, next week, is the Rambam completes Nevuah, and then he moves on to talk about Mishnayos and to talk about Machlokas. And that's sort of one of the questions we had left hanging when we started. Where does Machlokas come from? And that's going to have to do with some discussions we began at the beginning by the different parts of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the parts which are Kabbalah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, as opposed to those things which were developed by the later Chachmei HaTorah using the principles of interpretation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he's going to return to that in greater detail to look at the different parts of the Torah Shebaal Peh and to think some more about where Machlokas comes from and to solve some of those problems. So those are coming attractions of Mitzvah next week, both Nevuos, good and bad, and the parts of the various parts of Torah Shebaal Peh and the genesis and the origin of Machlokas. So that's the Mitzvah. We'll return to those topics next week.